Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you gonna get me the
ball? I'll get you the ball.
I hope he doesn't kill somebody.
Hey there, long time no see. It's 11 personnel.
Nick Ralph, my man,
and Adam Luckett. Yeah, I ditched y'all. Ditched all you fools. Did a little staycation, a little rest and relaxation. Slept in, you know, all that good stuff. Grew out a little bit of face hair. Not as beardy as you, though. The beard's looking good on you, Mr. Luckett.
I know, it's gotten a little lengthy on me. Right quick.
One thing I learned during this time is that we got married a day apart.
We did. Greg Mouse like alike.
And it's not just like, no, their anniversary is close. No, like the wedding dates. You were the 29th.
We were Friday night and you were Saturday.
Yeah, I went with the Friday night wedding. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. I guess it has after two years.
With Catholic churches in Louisville, it's either getting married at like 2 p.m. or we could squeeze it in Friday night. So we decided to just go ahead and squeeze it in Friday night. And it worked out really well.
That's how my wife's, she's got a really small hometown that's real Catholic too. They just get married at like 2 in the afternoon before the late mass or whatever at 5. And yeah, it was hotter than sin that day, though. I'll tell you what.
It was hot that Friday. I think that was the hottest weekend of the year.
Oh, it always is. And that's indicative of the last 5 days we've had in the Commonwealth. We're in Florida weather right now. Get the 4 or 5 o'clock thunderstorm that just makes things
Musky
humid
hot
and miserable. Oh, God. And my son right now, he only we try to keep him awake before bedtime. So about 7:30. He just wants to be outside. And I stepped outside with him today. Oh, my God. I just started sweating. I mean, it was worse than horror in church. It was so bad. Just dripping sweat, damn humidity. And now I feel like an old man because I'm complaining about the heat and the humidity and fireworks, which are how are you? How's Merle with the fireworks?
Dogs do not care about fireworks. Oh. Don't care about fireworks, thunder, lightning.
Don't bother them.
You're a bit. Hates vacuums.
Oh.
But does not care about fireworks, lightning.
Speaking of Merle, he's got a new pal.
He does. Moose in the house.
Merle Moose.
A moose in the house.
Now, how's he taken to a little pup?
He's doing about as well as expected. He likes his own personal time.
Oh, he's going to have some me time.
You know. Sometimes Moose kind of steps over the line. They're still trying to establish boundaries of when to do which. But they get along really well. There's been no really scuffles yet.
So this is the time, the pandemic, the coronavirus shutdown of the world. Best time to get a puppy as far as potty training and being around him and all that stuff goes. Mm-hmm. I'm worried, though, that you may have started this a little too late. Like, maybe this was puppy time should have happened a month or two ago.
You might be right on that. There was one dog we found. We put an application in. He was like a Great Dane mix.
Oh, man.
We didn't get him. We never heard back from him.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And then we found a litter that Moose is in. We found one that we applied for. That one got scooped up, but we had Moose as a backup. We met him and
okay. I didn't know if this was
next Saturday.
I didn't know if this was a surprise, no, Taylor. Happy anniversary.
No, we've been looking for a little bit.
Now, how did you celebrate your anniversary? I forgot to ask that. Fine night out on the town.
Yeah, we went to Grassa Grandma in Louisville.
Oh, man.
It's an Italian restaurant off, like, in Westport Village area.
Ooh, we went just as fancy. We went to Texas Roadhouse.
Russell Graham about soft seven, I'd say.
Nice.
Service spectacular. The setting is different. I liked it. Had a grilled Caesar salad, which is to die for. Probably one of the best salads I've ever had.
You want like a diet or something? You go to an Italian restaurant and you get a Caesar salad? Well, no, salad?
That's like that. They're especially like you get this here.
Oh, okay. Wait, can you say that again? Can you pronounce this again?
It was a grilled Caesar salad. Like
The name of the restaurant.
Oh, Grassa Grandma.
Grassa Grandma.
Grassa Grandma. Grassa Grandma. Grassa Grandma.
Oh man, that's great.
Taylor was getting on me. She's like, you don't know how to say it right.
Hey, you know what? You're trying. You can take the kid out of Oklahoma, but you can't take the Oklahoma out of the kid.
You can't beat a good TXRH night out.
Yeah, no. And we were planning on going somewhere fancier, but it was like, man, we haven't had Texas Roadhouse in like 4 months. Let's just do that. And you know what? It's the least crowded I've ever been to a Texas Roadhouse. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. We went not too long ago and it was really good.
Hey, can I also, one other thing that's developed over the last, this has probably been the last few weeks, but I think this is a great move for your brand. The Adam Luckett brand, it's been cultivated over many years, but I think you're hitting a few high points really hard lately. And that's one of those is the development of the word blue chip, where even JR, Justin Rowland over at Cats Illustrated, he's like, man, Luckett's really turned blue chips back into a thing. It was dead for a while, but blue chips is back. And number two, it's the tweet that I wait for every Saturday. And sometimes I'm a little disappointed that it comes too late. And that's, it's at Bud Light time. That's it. That's all it is.
And a little GIF or picture.
The most recent one, I think, was NWO.
Mm-hmm. I've been leaning into my comfort zone. My comfort zone is college football recruiting and drinking a few Bud Lights on Saturday.
No, the one that I was just disappointed is it was like fourth. I think it might have been 4th of July, and it's late. And I'm like, whoa.
But you had service issues at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I myself had some service issues.
Oh, so it had been Bud Light time, and yeah. you were getting into let's drunk tweet.
I think I tweeted that out at like maybe noon or so, and it probably didn't get released till PM.
Aha, I see.
Whenever it finally went through.
I see. Well, I just so you know, I'm going to be looking forward to the It's Bud Light time for the foreseeable future. And I might just have to crack a few every once in a while.
Last couple of years, I've done like this GIF countdown, kind of like 100 days till college football season kicks off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't want to do it this year.
Just in case.
Yeah, I can't have anybody messing up my countdown. But I have found, I don't know if you've found it to be the same way. When COVID thing started, like conference tournament weekend,
mm-hmm.
those 3 or 4 weeks were a slog.
Right.
But I have felt ever since we realized, all right, everything's canceled. Everything's going to have to be rescheduled. Time has kind of flown by. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
already past July 4th.
Well, and that's typically the like, okay, summer's usually halfway over.
It's a slog from Labor Day on until, or excuse me, Memorial Day until Labor Day, just mm-hmm. getting through that. But this edition of summer has felt like it's going really fast.
Well, hell, I think Phil Steele's going to be out here in a week. I mean, we're going to have Phil Steele's to read here soon.
Well, he did push his back, I think. He pushed it back a couple weeks this year.
Well,
because
weren't they having problems with, like, getting printers and stuff? Like, it almost didn't happen.
Well, no, I think I wrote an article, wrote something Andy Staples wrote that said, like, he didn't know. He thought about not doing it this year. There might have been a printer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, because that was one of those where I saw the headline and I was like, do I really want
to read this? No, I know what happened. He had to send a bunch of people home. He had to lay people off because people couldn't be at the office. So he didn't have his, army or whatnot.
Phil Steele has to have an office too. He cannot work remotely. Can you imagine him like using like an iPad? No, not Phil Steele.
You know, in the magazine,
he's like those old school. He's an old school writer that uses like MDOS to like type out everything just because he likes the way it looks. Like he's one of those kind of guys.
he has the in the magazine, like one of the first 5 or 6, 7 pages is his TV bank of the, where he watches the games. If you, you go scroll to the Phil Steele, any Phil Steele you have, it's like the 6th or 7th page. It's okay. Either in the front or the back.
I'm gonna, I got some right here. I'm gonna pull it out while you're talking.
That is at his office. I always thought it was, you know, at his house, but it turns out that's at his office.
The picture that he tweets out all the time about all the games he's got rolling and stuff. Yeah.
He just shows he has like 12 TVs.
I love it. And then he goes to an office.
He has that in his office.
God, that is the most Phil Steele. Just, and man, I know Matt and Drew, they love to poke fun at him for his picks, but he's a tradition unlike any other, you know? I mean, that Phil is who he is. And I think what I like most is that he takes his time with it to such an extent that, like, it has everything that if you're a fan of the team, you might not learn something new about it, but he checks every single one of your boxes. So much so that he has his own index of, like, abbreviations because he can't fit anything in there.
And he did gambling stuff for a while that no one else really touched. And I think that's what drove his popularity there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he's a perfect, I think, example of why college football is so great. You don't have a Phil Steele in Major League Baseball, or you don't have a Phil Steele in National Football League.
I think the closest thing you could get to
what's great about football or college football,
that like kind of weird personality that just fits. And it really, you didn't see it come out until he started doing those SVP hits, but Tim Kirkson in baseball. Because
baseball's got some guys that you could probably,
because they're all weird. Because
they're so much, it's so numbers driven.
Uh huh.
That you could probably find the guys, but it's just, I think college football has been the sport that's always been, you know, really, really popular. It's gotten nationally popular here over the last decade or so, where it's not just regional anymore, especially mm-hmm. with the playoff. But what makes it great is that it's just weird. Teams don't play each other. It's very regionally based.
Mm-hmm.
You have writers who've determined national championships for decades who never saw a bunch of teams play. These random bowl games that everybody thinks are really cool for the longest time. And you play 11 games and the season's over. The season's over in 2.5 months. And that's pretty much it. And I think it's in all, like, for 12 weeks, it's just a full-out sprint. Every Saturday, you can sit in front of the TV for literally 14 hours and watch college football all day on Saturday. And you can do that for 2.5 months. And it's a roller coaster of a season that has the best regular season in sports, and then it has this weird postseason. And Phil Steele was just a guy that kind of could connect with Joe Smith in Birmingham, but also Daryl Thomas up in Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And people that interested in the same thing, and Phil Steele gave them pretty much a football encyclopedia.
Yeah, and especially if you're like a kid who, you know, you want to – learn about all these different teams. Like, I remember.
Well, just a media person's best friend, too.
I mean, man.
It's a media guide for every team.
It's in the thing that's great is whenever you go to SEC Media Days and you see people who are.
Everybody with their Phil Steele.
Well, because they know what they're doing, but everybody uses it as a reference material.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need it because there's always that some random guy from, like, you know, oh, what's that tackle's name from Georgia that's really good? And last year was Andrew Smith. And, you know, stuff like that that really makes you sound smart when you talk on TV or radio.
Yeah.
And you know, he's good at – Phil Steele has made a lot of media folks sound a lot smarter over the years. And I'm excited for this year's edition to come out. And no matter what happens with this college football season, I'm going to be treating it – here's the little song and dance we've done on the daily – that's made it feel longer for some, but has actually helped it fly by, is that no matter what updates we get, we're just projecting for the most part. So up until teams are set to start camp at like the beginning of August, like, we can treat most of this like normal. So I had a conversation with a buddy, Luckett, who's a Louisville fan, and he just bought season tickets this year. He's pretty pumped. He's in the fill the circle part of the bowl or whatever, the new end zone. And he's a barber, so he has to talk shop all the time with people. And he was like, listen, this is going to be the first ever Governor's Cup where the teams are ranked. We talked it out, and it's like, you know what? As much as I love to dog Scott and his tots, that's probably going to happen because they have the teams both schools have brand names that they can beat. So, like, Auburn's a brand name Kentucky can beat on the road, especially if you're not dealing with a crazy-ass Jordan-Hare Stadium. Virginia Tech comes to Louisville, and basically their entire that's the battle for who's the number two team in the ACC, so long as Mack Brown and North Carolina don't have something to say about it. So, there's a scenario where we have a Governor's Cup on Thanksgiving Day that doesn't get kicked down to ESPNU, and we got to deal with dumbass Mike Patrick calling the game. God, that drove me. I mean, just way to step on a great moment, Mike Patrick. Way to ruin everything. Kentucky could get a Kentucky Louisville Governor's Cup could get prime time ESPN showcase on Rivalry Saturday to end the college football season.
Here's one thing I want to say about Louisville. They are very thin at some positions. If they have an injury or two, I think the thing could possibly train fall off the tracks. Now, here's the thing with their schedule. Like, the ACC is going to be a lot better this year. It can't get any worse.
And then, some of them went to bowls, though, last year. You got to remember, there was four, five, seven-win teams in there.
So, it was pretty awful. And I think them going to Syracuse, they're going to Boston College. Those are two road games, very winnable early in the year. But don't sleep on that WKU game, because WKU has a defense that's legitimate, like top 25 good potentially. Hmm. And they return 10 starters or so. They don't know who's going to play quarterback, but they find any offense of all that's a scary game.
But, no, the NC State game just opened the season. You can't that could derail it from the start. But mm-hmm. to your point, Hawkins goes down, Cunningham goes down, like he did almost every other game last year. You know, you're in trouble.
But that Florida State Virginia Tech stretch after the bye, two back to back home games. That has to be one of the biggest back to back home stretches for Louisville in program history.
Yeah,
two brand names at home back to back, and you're going to have a really good chance to win both of them. Yeah. And if you win those games, you're probably if you win every game you're supposed to, you know, you're sitting at 7-1. You potentially if you win those games.
I can recall one
that's on the table
where they beat Miami at home, and I think that was right after they had also beat Florida State. I want to say it was that 06 year when they went to the Orange Bowl. Those games were close together, and then when they were independent, but they sucked and they would get killed in them. But like when they played Texas and like Penn State, they had a bunch of big names on the schedule. Yeah. They get rocked. But this is like some legitimate chances to win. But the point being, I like to where I'm at right now. I would much rather fantasize about the possibility of a top 25 Governor's Cup game than the doom and gloom. So, you know,
it's possible. It's possible.
Right. And
I think the Louisville schedule is a little tougher than people are realizing, in my opinion.
Man, you're giving the ACC too much credit, though. Like it, damn it.
They have to play Notre Dame, too, Nick. That's another thing we need to remember.
Notre Dame, Schmoder Dame. Come on. You, us Catholics are giving them too much credit.
I'm telling you, don't sleep on these toppers, dude. I'm telling you. They find a quarterback.
Oh, man. I love Western.
Give me a handful.
Twitter too, because they got pretty active today too. They were pumped.
Oh yeah, they had which that tweet is a lie.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't. Now UK actually did. I had somebody reach out to me from there. It was like, no, we've talked to them about playing a game, but it's not going to happen this year because we're full. So sorry, but that you know that's them trying to rustle some feathers, and good for them. You got to rally the troops. I just don't understand some of the Hilltopper fans that are like, oh, come on, you don't want a piece of us. We kick your ass. I'm like, I get it. Tavion Hollingsworth, he's really good. He scored like 43 points in a game last year. But, like, come on, Western. Like, chill out. You're with us, okay? You beat up Louisville for us. Like, we're on the same side. You know, Brom Squad. Remember that? That was fun. So yeah, I don't.
They are a feisty bunch. Yeah. I will say that.
But hey, I you can't blame them. You got that mid-major kind of fever. Yeah. You know, you get a little froggy. But yeah, you know, let's put this train back on the tracks like it, because the biggest thing that happened while we were out last week was Kentucky added two commitments. One Martez thrower, thrower, not a quarterback, a linebacker, and he'll play inside linebacker for John Summerall at UK. He committed on July 4th. He did the classic Independence Day thing, which as a person who typically would like to not work on those days, not a big fan of that trend. And our Cash Daniel, he certainly didn't start it, but he was the first big one I remember.
Caleb Williams, the top quarterback in the country, committed on 4th of July too.
Where did he end up committing?
Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, and they had the QBU video. Yeah. The stat that I saw that was nuts. Lincoln Riley's, of his quarterbacks, the worst they finished in the Heisman voting was 4th.
Because like, he's been to Oklahoma, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, give me a freaking break here, Lincoln Riley. Enough's enough. But thrower commits on Saturday, and that was about 3 days after – Christian Lewis from where at now?
Birmingham area.
Yeah, Pleasant Grove.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, is the high school. Christian Lewis commits to Kentucky. Summerall gets two commitments in a week. He's up to 5 in this class. Vince Merrill's got 6. So we're seeing this is weird. Like, I think there's only been one other time where something similar happened, and that was when Eddie Grand had a big haul in South Florida where he had 4 or 5.
Yeah, 2017, 2018.
Yeah, they had South a nice Florida little lot run there. But this is one of those things like it. I remember being in the hotel room at Missouri whenever they hired Summerall. I was like, you son of a bitch, you called it. I needed one random assistant name, and you nailed it, that Summerall would be the guy because of his ability to recruit in the South. And I didn't realize – like, I knew by talking to him that he would be good. And last year, early on, we just saw him get some big visitors, like Quandarius Robinson, the kid who's at Alabama, who's like a 5-star. Like, he got some visitors to come, but it's like, okay, you know, but it's going to be slim pickings for a little while. It's going to take some time. But he pulls off the surprise with Josiah Hayes, and now Kentucky obviously, Merrill is going to end up being responsible for some of the bigger fish later on in the class. But Stoops put a lot on Summerall's shoulders in this class, and he's delivered.
To me, I think the biggest thing is that they're pulling out of South Florida. They had, I believe, one guy last year, Sam Anelli, who was a transplant. Mm-hmm. And then you saw them really spray the board last year. They went to Louisiana, went to South Carolina, went to Georgia, went to Tennessee to get a bunch of guys. This year, they're really just hitting that deep South area hard, specifically South Georgia. You look at Martez Thrower, you look on the roster, Travis Tisdale, Quay Mahone, you look at Chauncey Magwood, Jamin Davis, who's on the roster right now. That's an area that you look at and you're like, whoa, they're really kind of hitting this area of the country hard for players. They like what they're seeing out of this area. And Thrower, when you throw on the tape, you see good things. He's going to be a guy on signing day where I'm like, this is one of my favorite players in this class.
Really?
Because he has this frame that he's listed at 6'3", like 205, 210. But he looks like he can be 230 pounds after he eats a couple cheeseburgers. Like, he has a frame that's going to fill out very quickly when he gets into a strength conditioning program. And he's a natural inside linebacker. He's going to be a Mike at Kentucky.
Ooh, a Mike, not even a Will.
He's going to play Mike.
Because I thought the point that you made in your film breakdown was like, hey, DeAndre Square and Jordan Jones, those dudes were both a little light under the shoulder pads, but played because above their weight.
When I start watching that tape, that's just what you think. 208 pounds, okay. He's probably going to get 15 to 20. He might get up to 225-ish area. That's probably more likely a Will, but that's not what you see when you turn on the tape. And I think football's changing a little bit too, where you not necessarily you got to have that 240-pound thumper there in the middle.
I like
you want a guy with some more speed.
I like when you see his the you look and they show the little circle where he is. And as the play develops, he doesn't really move. And then you see the Red Sea part, and he just goes right to the hole. Mm-hmm. There's no hesitation. There's no kind of dancing around. He sits, he reads, he reacts, he makes a play.
Mm-hmm. Just technique-wise tackling, drops hips, drops shoulder, drives. Mm-hmm. He knocks people backwards. He takes on – like, there's plays where he takes on offensive linemen at the second level, disengages them, and gets off and makes a tackle. He runs sideline to sideline and makes a couple plays. He looks the part. And he's a guy that he's not going to play right away. He needs a redshirt year. He needs to develop.
Right.
But you can just see some of the tools he has. And I think he's a guy Kentucky staff is very excited to get. Obviously, just me talking right now, I think he's a little bit better than his recruiting ranking. But he's a guy that I think you should be very excited about because he's more of a modern-day Mike linebacker. He's going to be 225, 230 pounds. He's going to be able to really run, but he can be really physical. He can really deliver a blow. He can hold his own against some big bodies in heavy traffic areas, which is what you have to do at that position. And you have to be an instinctual football player. Just like you talked about, that patience and waiting just for the right moment to go and shoot a gap, he shows that on tape. So he's going to be a guy I'll be really excited to see. Hopefully he has senior tape. Hopefully they can play some football. But he's the guy I think people should be really excited about. And well, another guy who Arkansas really wanted. Kentucky keeps butting heads against on their trail.
Yeah, I believe Mississippi State was
they were in there too.
In the mix for him as well. I also liked he rocked the Power K in his commitment video.
Mm-hmm.
Great move. Great decision. To throw that on. It's funny. I didn't know you were going to say that about Thrower because in talks that I've had with I'm one of those like it that I have a knack for just falling for edge rushers and receivers when I watch them on tape. And I've been fooled by receivers so much, but of all of the guys that Kentucky signed and since Mark Stoops became head coach back in 2013, I don't think there's been a receiver with a more diverse set of skills than Christian Lewis. And that's why he's going to be one of my favorites on signing day because the dude does just a little bit of everything. And he's a big guy too. I think he's listed at 6'3", like 190. So he's a big guy who can catch passes over top of you, but most of the plays he makes, it's catching like a post going through traffic. There was one play in particular.
A lot of contested catches.
Yeah. And one where the ball, like, it's one of those catches that's a lot, it looks easier than what it is, where there's two guys kind of crossing in front of his face, and the quarterback just makes a hell of a throw. And one might have even gotten a finger on it, and he stops. It's behind him. He makes the grab, and
Then makes a jump cut and makes a guy miss.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those, like, damn, like that's incredible body control. It's incredible acceleration, and he's great after the catch as well, too. So what was the stat that you had on him, too? What was his touchdown rate?
Like, touchdown rate was over a fourth of his catches were touchdowns. It was like 26.7%.
That's stupid. And he's like – he's not a – this isn't C.J. Conrad's, you know, once every five catches. Like, C.J. Conrad had that stat, but he was only getting the ball 30 times a game. This kid had
– he caught 75 balls.
Yeah. He had like almost 2,000 yards receiving. And he's playing 5A football in Alabama. They have seven classes. And I think we talked about it a few weeks back when I was just kind of bragging on him a little bit. But that state championship game, you know plays it down to the wire. He scores two touchdowns in that game. So, dude is a ball player, and he's one of those, like, you know, obviously not every one of these kids that's highly ranked is going to move up or move down, but I'd be 100% certain that he would have made a big jump at a camp, kind of like how some of the other kids like Armand Scott have made some jumps since committing.
Him and Scott both are kind of borderline four-star prospects. If they have monster senior seasons, I think both of them have a chance to jump up a level and get that blue chip number by their name.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with Lewis, with Lewis, when watching his tape, it's very similar to Isaiah Cummings in a way, because a lot of it is, it's not much separation. There's teams coming, but they still found a way to make catches. So when you get to the next level, it's all right. It's like, all right, that's good, but they still need to find some way. You got to be, you know, pressure man and get open and create some easy throws. Mm-hmm. But when you watch Christian Lewis run with the football,
man,
when he gets the ball, you can see, like, he does have athleticism. There is some wiggle. There's some make and miss ability.
Some juice there.
Right. There's some juice in there. So that should develop into, in your route tree, you should be able to apply those skills where you can get good at certain type of routes to be able to create that separation. So I think that's a reason to get excited for him. I think he has a very high floor. I think he's going to come in. I think he's got a chance to play as a true freshman. But the biggest thing to take away, though, like you talked about receivers, I just get – they sucker me in. I fall for them every time. The reason you should get excited, though, Nick, is they're bringing in a lot of guys like this from a recruiting ranking level. All these guys, they're higher-rated guys than they've gotten before. So just by pulling in all these guys, throwing stuff at the wall, a few of them are going to stick and play up to that ranking or play above that ranking. And that in itself is going to give Kentucky its best receiver core it's had in the Mark Stoops era, because it hasn't been good since he's been here for a bunch of different reasons.
Well, and I know Notre Dame was a school that was hot and heavy on Lewis for a while. So that kind of, if you need that to kind of give you a scope of where things are at, I know Louisville really tried to get on him, and they're, you know, they love their receivers. Just look at that Justify cover. I'll tell you that. But the point you made, and I believe it was a recruiting roundup or hell, I don't know. But there, you can, by putting an emphasis on the wide receiver, I think it shows they're recognizing a problem, and they're also saying this is going to be more part of our offense than it was in the past. And then this will be a bigger part of our offense in the future than it is in the past. So obviously that's the case when you have the Lynn Bowden thing happening, but they're giving Bo Allen some tools to throw with. Like, you're not going to recruit a guy like that and not have anybody get the ball.
When Bo Allen takes over, or after Joey Gatewood's probably second year, whenever they're the quarterback. So let's fast 2022-23. Kentucky's offense is going to be a passing offense, and that's going to be the strength of the team, is being able to throw the football. Now, if they can develop some of these running backs and keep this O-line badassery, keep that pumping, keep that hanging around, then they're really going to have something on offense. But it's clear in their staff meetings right now, or in the past, they've said, we have to fix this wide receiver position. We have to keep up with the Joneses, to keep up with what LSU just did last year. LSU, the most man-ball team that ever man-balled, went out and said, we're just changing our offense and we're going to throw the ball, you know, 40, 50 times a game. And they scored 78 points a game, and they had every single season record broken and all that. And Alabama's doing the same thing. And so the top level is changing. And I think around the league, it's either you're going to have to keep up or you're going to get passed. I think what Kentucky has done in the past is found a winning formula.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked. But I think they also realize that they have to do some developing as well. They are evolving as well. They need to be able to throw the football. And I think that's what they're getting to. And I think whenever Bo Allen gets under center for the first time, he starts as planned for Kentucky, he's going to have a lot of dudes to throw the football to.
No, I got distracted when you talked about LSU, because I noticed that Miles Brennan was showing off his rings today. They got three rings for – I guess they got an
SEC. Did they get three? They got three. Ah, yeah.
Because so
SEC,
I knew –
college football playoff and national championship.
I knew that the college football playoff makes – like, they give out their own rings to all four teams every year no matter what. And it's basically just the
logo. I was just thinking they had three and they got the pick from one. I didn't give them.
Yeah, so I think what LSU has done, because the school would pay for the other two, So LSU, instead of just giving them a national championship ring that's like, hey, here's everything on it, they also gave him an SEC championship one with it as well. And they're pretty – I mean, the SEC championship one might be the coolest because it's got the tiger on the front. That's pretty ballin'.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. I looked at them before we got on here.
And I just don't know how I feel about the college football playoff trophy in general. Like, I don't like it. Yeah, like, can we not just have like a big ass cup or something?
Well, I don't know why they couldn't keep the crystal ball. I thought that was
cool. That was great. Yeah. So I don't know why they had to change it up from that. I mean, I guess it's branding, all that kind of junk, but whatever. And I also, when I clicked on Twitter, I thought I saw something about a mask wearing ordinance, which was going to allow me to be my segue. That, did you see the mask that Shutt is making that teams could wear as a face covering on their helmets during games?
Yeah, you're talking about just like the full face visor?
Yeah,
it's kind of look like to me.
Yeah, just like a two-piece visor, essentially. And like the bottom has kind of air, like vents on the side to give them some breathing room. Do you think this that teams will be wearing those this fall? Do you think that will be something that will be kind of everywhere?
I could see it developing into that for sure. I don't know. I just mean,
yeah.
This stuff changes all the time. But yeah, I could definitely see that being a thing that a lot of people use.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know what? If that's what you got to do to play, then you know what? We're going to slap those suckers on. We're going to play some ball. We're going to play some ball, damn it. And I don't – the early reviews were that, hey, it doesn't fog up. It's pretty easy to breathe. And you know what? If it checks those two boxes and you don't get too hot, then by God, let's play ball. Let's get going around Labor Day. I know this second wave of stuff's freaking some people out. But, hey – the folks at UK, they're still we reported earlier this week that Mitch Barnhart's selling donors. You know, our goal is to get 50% of fans in the stands. So do you think that target will be met? Like, it, do you think we will have 50% fans in the stands this fall?
Oh, I don't know. I want to say no. It just doesn't seem like it with the way things are heading. Like, I think what they'll get down to is probably like 25%. And just tarp off the upper deck.
I think it's a thing too, where it's like, as we've kind of slowly reopened, people are just, instead of wearing masks everywhere, they're just kind of going back to normal. So then you can't, you know, you can't be as liberal with other things if you're not, you know, wearing your mask, just going to, I don't know what people do anymore. I don't do it.
I'm very interested to see. If it's, let's just say 40% can come to the games, mm-hmm. but they can't tailgate.
What's the point of that?
Like, a lot of people I know are just like, well, I'm just not going to go. I'll just sit here, or I'll go up to Smokey's Sports Bar and watch the game outside on his nice patio.
Damn it, it's KS Bar and Grill. Like, it. Come on.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, KS Bar and Grill.
Yeah, Jesus, be a company man for once, David.
Yeah, you could do that,
or go to your man cave where you ain't got to worry about people mass shaming you.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. You know what? You picked a good time to get your man cave, though.
Hell, you ain't kidding. Because that's another thing with college. That's the deal, man. That's part of what it makes it so awesome. Like, you talk about. If you're asking Adam to rank his top 10 beers of the year, two of them happened at Kroger Field. First one is the first tailgate of the year, the first one I opened there at Kroger mm-hmm. Field. The second one is the first cold weather tailgate of the year. Cold weather beer where it's you have to have gloves on, you have to have a hoodie or two hoodies on. That beer right there is one of the best beers you can have. If you take all that away, it's just – I think it's going to turn a lot of people off. I'll be very interested to see.
You got the receiver gloves too, right?
Oh, yeah. Football guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe it was just like a headband too, so you could still keep the visor on.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Oh, man, I love it. I'm one of those that I would like for there to be some sort of fans there just to give –
Yeah, it's
the atmosphere without fans would be just because there's no other American sport that relies on fans quite like college football, because the fans are what make it so great. NFL
football in general,
like in the NFL though too, you don't get the same. There are some kooky
the fan experience is different,
right?
And if they're both fun. Both the games are fun to go to, but
the
Bills
are the only real place that's kind of similar to college in the just like all about mayhem that you feel. Whereas like the NFL, you get some like crazy fights and all that kind of junk.
Well, but NFL's also playing Sunday at like noon in most of the country, noon Central Time.
Yeah.
So I just think it's set up a little different where college. It's a lot for a lot of people. It's going back to your old college town.
Meeting up with the old guys.
Back, yeah, it's going back and hanging out with people you hung out with when you're 21 years old.
Oh, man.
And it's a lot like, well, I usually only drink 6 beers, but today I'm drinking 10 because I'm back with all my college buddies. So I think it's the mindset of it is a lot different, which I think is part of the reason makes it great. Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. The thing that sucks, like, for Kentucky fans – couldn't this be the year that you have Arkansas at home instead of a trip to the Plains? You know, like this would be the one damn time you get to go to the Plains like a decade.
We were planning on going to Auburn. I just don't know if I want to do it with.
Well, and even if we'll be allowed to.
I don't even know if I can get to. Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm kind of having in my mind that only players' families will be traveling road fans. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of just what I've got in my mind. So I don't know. It's going to be weird. But hey, if we got football. It's better than no football.
Are you that against them piping in noise?
No, not at all.
Not long as it's not over the top, but I don't think it's
that big. Right. But if there's a little bit of noise, so like when I watch the whatever soccer games, when it's basically like, oh, well, here's live sports on, and you can hear it, but it's not like.
That's what I turned on a soccer game because I was wondering, is it as crazy as they're saying it is.
It really just
and I turn it on and like you could tell like it's weird because there's no one in stands, but I don't think it makes too big of a difference. And I think it's a more natural feeling for the players and for people watching it to know to have that in the background.
It does just there. It makes it feel more natural and it's not overwhelming because they've got like a DJ there that's trying to make it not too over the top and to where because like the thing that I just don't give the speakers to the people in Mississippi State. Like, we don't. Oh, because I could just see Stingray
Steve.
They're
already piping
up
crowd noise anyway.
Yeah,
Stingray
Steve.
There's no way cowbells are that loud.
Shaking a damn cowbell next to a megaphone.
They're already piping
in
crowd noise down there, Starkville.
God, I just. have we done a podcast since Mike Leach mask pop Kiffin?
No.
Oh man, the egg bowl, it's so great. I think I saw where people were talking about, well, what do we make the state flag of Mississippi? We change it, and it's just DK Metcalf pissing on dog pissing on the field. I wouldn't mind it too if it was just a carton of eggs or just like a bunch of eggs.
It'd just be half cowbell, half shark.
Right. Ooh, and then an egg in the middle. You got to throw a bone to people in Hattiesburg. Yeah. You got to throw them a bone as well. But the Mike Leach mask pop. Also, Mike Leach in general, just he looks so fish out of water.
Here's the thing I love. You know him, right? Him and Kiffin both. Kiffin is down in Boca fishing for tarpon. And chilling out on his $1 million home. And Leach is just kicking it in Key West. Neither one of them SOBs is living in Mississippi right now. You know, they're the highest paid employees in the state. They're in South Florida just living like two rich white dudes.
Like kings. Oh, man. I can't think of a more perfect place for Mike Leach than Key West. Have you ever been to Key West like it?
Yeah, one time.
I
2017, I believe.
I had a ball there because it's a place where us kind of people like it. You're all the same, you know. And you couldn't. Mike Leach is the most normal person there, just like, yeah, he's probably got a lot of money. We don't really know what he does. He's a little odd. And he comes here and he orders, a Harvey Wallbanger every day. And you're like,
he rents bikes from bike shops and drives them around.
Yeah. Like, just very odd kind of, oh man. And the fact that he had to, I'm sure there was part of him that was like, well, I guess this is what you do when you coach in Mississippi. You got to go to the Capitol. And
welcome to the Egg Bowl.
Take the Confederate flag down. And you know what? Let's one up that bastard down in Oxford real quick with the little mass pop. And that was our weekly segment on the Egg Bowl. We'll be back for more next week here on 11 Personnel. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up because I saw an article today. You ever heard the name Howard Brown?
Doesn't ring any bells.
Well, he wasn't the most heralded recruit. He was only a 3-star. 24/7 lists him as the 49th ranked defensive tackle in the country. And
it's pretty solid.
He's from Kansas City. Well, except he's not a defensive tackle, he's a quarterback. He's gonna play quarterback at Iowa State.
I did see that. The 6'2", 275. Yeah, quarterback. Yeah. I did see he's committed to Iowa State. I did see that today.
Yeah, it was 24/7 wrote the article. He's going to be 303. So Jared is smiling down on Howard Brown right now.
I need to watch the tape.
Yeah, they got a little bit of him here. And the thing that I enjoyed most is they were like in a close game, the coach was like, yeah, not really sure what happened. He just barreled through like 4 guys and ran into the end zone. So he accounted for 6,000 yards and 82 touchdowns over the last 3 years at quarterback. Lincoln College Prep in Kansas City. Yeah, so which sounds like a nice school.
Imagine being a pretty tough, hard-nosed, 5'10", 190-pound linebacker in the Missouri High School League, and you're defending power O, and there comes that quarterback running QB power right down your throat.
Well, and unlike Jared, you know, Jared, he always laughed all the time about all the interceptions he threw because he didn't care. He'd just sling it. This dude, 17 touchdowns, 2 picks on an 11-1 team last year. That's crazy.
He probably threw 12 to 15 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's not throwing it a lot. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Iowa State is the perfect place for him. Actually, Iowa is more perfect because it's just him throwing to, like, you know, tight ends that are the same size as him. So, either way, remember the name Howard Brown. Just put a pin in that name and go check out his highlights on Huddle, and you'll enjoy it thoroughly. I promise you.
I'll make a mental note.
Yeah. But other than that, Luckett, I don't think I got much more for us today.
No, I think that about does it. We're just waiting, seeing how this COVID-19 situation plays out with practice starting up here very shortly.
Oh, yeah. One more thing. Did you see that picture of Brendan Bates? Holy crap. I
did.
I did not recognize him at all. And to be candid, he was always the guy that was like, man, is this like he kind of looks like a little receiver, you know? Like, is he ever going to turn into a tight end? Well, it looks like he's turning into a tight end. Look at
that tight end position, important part of the offense this year. I think Keaton Upshaw, in many ways, is probably their X factor. And if they're able to do stuff with him, like line him up outside a lot, use him different ways in the passing game, can get them in 12 personnel, and that can give Terry Wilson a lot of favorable matchups when reading defenses and making throws. It can make his life a lot easier if Keaton Upshaw is able to become this go-to type receiver in intermediate routes.
Well, and the thing that I think they would have liked to have gone 12 personnel more last year, but Upshaw's not a great blocker. And I think ideally they'd use him out of the H-back position where – it looks like a counter, but then he leaks out, 7 yards down the field.
Two guys who were hurt the most with the quarterback situation last year were Keaton Upshaw and Ahmad Wagner.
Yeah, yeah. The big guys that just throw it up to him. And, I mean,
I think they were both going to have some big seasons. Just look at the Florida game, how they kind of used them.
Mm-hmm.
And you just didn't get to see it all season. But he's a guy I think we need to remember not a lot of people are talking about, not a lot of people know about, but if he plays to his potential, he's got a chance to really be kind of a household name heading into 2021.
Man, and he is so damn big. And like, folks, I know you don't you he's just an, hear my
he's an NFL voice player
at home, but like in the many years that I've done this media business stuff, well, sizing up folks is square. I'm a big guy. There's only been three football players that have been taller than me. I guess four if you count John Gruenschlager. Remember him? New Kath?
Be a 7-footer.
I had to play against him. He had a little brother too that was enormous. We played against him in high school, but it was great. Just cut him. Yeah, they're down like a beached whale. But Calvin Taylor is one of them. He's every bit of 6'9". Wagner, he's a little bit taller than me. He's like a legit 6'6" and change, a little bit taller than me. Upshaw is every bit of 6'7". Dude is enormous. And once he gets it all figured out, he's going to be great. And I think he's the benefit of having I'm in trouble, let me just throw it up to this guy and have him go do something can help out Terry Wilson so much. So I hope that from a run blocking perspective, they can use him enough as that H-back to be able to do stuff out of run sets and keep him on the field more, because I really think that's the only thing that was limiting his snaps last year, was that they didn't trust him that much blocking downfield.
One thing I would like to see more with Grant's offense is utilizing play action. Mm-hmm. And I think you get into 12 personnel a lot, that's something you could really take advantage of.
Yes, okay. And 12 personnel, one tailback, two mm-hmm. tight ends.
And what that essentially does – it's daring the defense. It's either we're just please bring in defensive back. If you do it, we're just going to run it right down your throat.
Right, right.
But if you don't, you're in base, and with our hybrid type tight end receiver, mm-hmm. he's going to be more than not matched up with a linebacker, or you're going to have to bring a safety down where you're only going to be single high. And then that's a very advantageous situation for an offense, specifically a quarterback in the passing game, because it makes things a lot easier for them if you can pull it off. And I think Kentucky can pull it off with Upshaw and Rigg, and then maybe Bates or Ognjanovic in the game. We'll see.
Riggs.
Which, that's a guy too, Nick, we're not, no one will talk about, but he looks the part.
Yeah, and he's been a staple. I mean, hell, this is his third year of playing consistently. So that's 11 personnel talking 12 personnel. How do you like that? Like it?
They had to switch it up a little bit.
I don't know, man. That's podcast. I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's a podcast palindrome. We were a day apart on our anniversaries. We end a number apart on our personnels. We're changing things up a little bit, getting a little wacky here. In the middle of July, I mean, folks, if all goes according to plan, we're going to be kicking off football season in 1, 2, 3. I mean, they're going to be practicing in 3 weeks like it.
Week zero teams will be practicing in like a week and a half.
Yeah, we're not that far from football, folks. So just do a mask, wear a mask, wash your hands, stay safe out there. Well, listen to Andy Beshear. I actually don't listen to him. Those things are really boring. But we're going to get through this, folks, and we're going to have some football at the end of the tunnel. Thanks for making it to the end with us and putting up with us for being gone for a week. But happy to be back. Happy to talk to you tonight, Luckett. It's been a pleasure.
Always fun, my man.
And, folks, remember, as always, go Cats, go Kroger. We'll see y'all next week here on 11 Personnel.